What is up, guys, and welcome to the weekly Computers Tech Podcast. Man, this webcast thing has me kind of screwed up. Usually I just read off the thing and I'm good to go. This is the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast, of course. It is episode 193. We're probably sticking with this webcast thing now.
I like it.
Yeah, it's good. It gives us, we can like see each other talk, and I don't know.
You can see our pretty faces.
Yeah, it's what the kids are doing, right?
It's kind of funny. when we got on the podcast, when we got on the cameras, we're like, wow, we're both wearing hats. Because last week, I don't think either of us were wearing hats.
No, and, I didn't know.
Yeah, and we didn't even plan it, so that's kind of funny. But yeah.
Just sensed it and wore the right thing. Before we go too far, though, we got to mention, I think we might have missed it last week, that this is always brought to you by Amazon. Kicks a little bit of money back to us. So if you go and you buy your stuff there, it doesn't cost you anything. It just takes a percentage and sends it to us and helps us do things like this for you guys. So if you can, help us out that way. On with the show, Bob.
Yeah, that URL is thinkcomputers.org/Amazon. And that just kicks, like as Derek said, kicks a little bit of money back to us. But we'll jump into reviews this week. And I'm going to talk about a product that I honestly saw it and I thought, this thing's going to be so stupid. Like, you know, you see products and you're just like,
why?
Yeah. So we've seen these mice get really popular with esports and streamers, really, with these really lightweight mice. And we saw the Model O from, I think the company's called PC Master Race, actually, or I forget what it was, a startup company that made this mouse that. And then there's a company called Final Mouse that made a really lightweight mouse. And now, you know, we have this one from Cooler Master. So Cooler Master is kind of a bigger player compared to those two. And it is their MM710. And it weighs in at 53 grams, which most mice are like around 80 to 100 grams, if not more. It's a very small mouse. It's, like I said, very lightweight. And I got it into review and I was like, this is going to be not great. Like, you know, I'm typically a big mouse guy. Like I was using that Corsair, the Ironclaw RGB wireless, which is a huge mouse compared to this. And, you know, I picked this up and I was like, okay, like one, you have to be an FPS gamer with this, I think. Just for the fact that there's not a whole lot of buttons on this. It's very lightweight. It's very for kind of like twitchy kind of type gaming. But I used it and I haven't stopped using it, which is weird. You know, when we get products in, typically after the review, if we're not a fan of it, we just take it off our desk.
Yeah.
And this has remained on my desk. It feels really good. I guess just to show you guys, if I can bring it up in here. Here it is, still on my desk. You know, you will notice all the holes, so that's what makes it very lightweight. And the thing is, what's really cool is you can, well, I know you guys probably can't see in the video, but you can actually see the PCB in there of the mouse, nice. Which is really cool. And you might wonder, you know, like I have a drink here. You know, if you spill it, you could destroy the mouse, but they actually coat the PCB with a water-resistant coating, dust-resistant coating, and all that, so you don't have to worry about that. But the mouse itself just feels really good. It actually comes with these feet here, and this is not like the normal feet that you see on most gaming mice you buy. These are like the aftermarket ones that a lot of serious gamers buy. So these come pre-installed and they give you an extra set, so you know this is going to last for a very long time. It is an optical sensor. It's a PixArt sensor. You have two buttons on the side here, and then your two main buttons, and then you have like a DPI button, and that's it.
Arm run switches
and everything like that. It just feels really good. It flows across my mouse pad really good. Since I'm mainly an FPS gamer, the back and forward button on the side and the two main mouse buttons are fine for me. It just feels really good. And the one thing that's one of my favorite things about this mouse, it's kind of hard.
Oh, I think we just lost Bob. Maybe he'll pop back in here. Not really sure. As we said, this is like a new thing for us, so
And let me add myself back. There I am.
Hey, there
I hit the back button on the mouse. I was trying to tell you.
Oh, nice.
So there we go. So we are back. But yeah, so the one thing I love about this mouse, which I was trying to tell you guys, is the actual cabling. It's this lightweight cabling that they call UltraWeave. I'm sure you have experienced mice where, like, if I set a mouse down, sometimes it, like, moves across my mouse pad because of the rubber. Even with the other type of cabling, it's kind of, I don't know, you kind of have that issue sometimes.
Sure.
So this UltraWeave is ultra light and it doesn't like bend. It doesn't do any of that stuff that most of the other, just like the other mice don't do. It's just so awesome. And I really hope that going forward, even if they're not looking for a lightweight mouse, that they use this UltraWeave. Like, I really hope that they use it going forward because it just...
It's a nice cable.
It's just a nice cable. It feels really nice. And it's very lightweight. So it doesn't, you know, like a lot of people resort to using a mouse bungee because that cable just bothers them so much. So with this, it's just, like I said, I love this mouse. And there's no RGBs on it. No RGBs whatsoever.
With that design, I actually wish that they would have put like a white LED inside it.
Yeah, so the Model O one from the other company does have RGB lighting, okay. But of course that adds weight. And currently right now, this is the lightest gaming mouse out there, at least from what I know. The Model O one, I believe, is 58. The other one, the final mouse, I believe is 62. So this is at 52. At 52 grams, it is the smallest one.
Well, good for them. I don't get it personally. I think, is it old school that we like heavy mice? Like, I've always added like all the weights to my mice, even for FPS.
I was the heavy mouse guy. Like, I love that Iron Claw RGB wireless. I actually was using wireless because one, wireless technology has gotten to a point where if you're gaming, it's not a big deal. And the fact that, you know, the cabling was a big problem with me. I just, you know, and I had a mouse bungee for a long time and then I just ended up throwing it away. But the cabling was a big deal. But with this UltraWeave cabling, the lightweight, I love it. Like, I just, it's a complete surprise to me. Cause again, when I got this product into review, I was like, you know,
didn't appeal to me when you previewed it last week. I was like, oh, that looks like it's going to be awful.
Yeah.
But I do believe you because you get your hands on a lot of mice. So
yeah, I really like it. It's like, and a lot of pro gamers are using this type of thing. The whole idea is like, it's an extension of your arm because it is so lightweight. You're not using as much power, I guess, or you know, you're not lifting as much and you're not, you know,
that fatigue, exerting right?
as much. Yeah, you're not exerting as much energy per se. So yeah, I think that's, you know, it's like I said, it's a good mouse. It's $50. The other ones are actually a little bit more expensive too. So $50. I like it. I would really highly recommend, you know, we talk about Amazon, you can do a 30-day you know, no questions asked returns if you have Prime. Yeah. So get this mouse, try it out. I don't think you'll be disappointed. And like I said, I look at a lot of mice and I really was not disappointed. So definitely check out the review. It is one really, really, you know, really awesome product. So definitely check that out. And we'll move to our next review of the week, which is a low profile CPU cooler from Scythe. And it, you know, when it comes to low profile CPU coolers, just in general, you know, there's not a whole lot of options, especially, of course, air coolers. Like, there's just not. So, you know, when actually doing this review, I was looking to some other ones to compare it to. We've actually reviewed a couple in the past few months. And those plus like two others are like the only other ones I could find that are really low profile. So this cooler is designed as a top-down C-style cooler. Again, low profile. It's only 69 millimeters tall, so it should fit in most mini ITX cases. It's made to, you know, fit over the memory. So the actual the heatsink itself actually goes over the memory. So I don't think we've seen any really crazy radical designs that have like memory that's bigger than a little bit bigger than stock, as you can see here it goes, you know. Yeah. You can see it goes over the memory there. You know, that's
it used to, we used to have taller DIMMs, but we kind of moved away from that with all the RGB stuff.
Yeah, so you don't see that as much, and you really shouldn't have that problem here. But that gives you more surface area in the actual heatsink, which of course is a plus. It has their fan, that's their Case Flex fan. It is a very thin fan. I think it's I don't have the exact specs,
but it's a 12.
Yeah, it's a thinner fan than normal. The heatsink itself, as you can see, it, all aluminum heatsink here, copper base and copper heat pipes. You have five heat pipes in this. It's actually kind of impressive the amount of heat pipes they're able to get in this and make it such a low profile cooler. But even with all that, our results weren't great by any means. You know, we tested against a bunch of other coolers. You know, and a lot of those other coolers are a lot larger and everything like that. During idle, it's right in the middle, which is really good. And the fan is very, very quiet. But under load, you can see it's quite bad. It sits down here. It's actually only 4 degrees better than the AMD Wraith Spire, mm-hmm. Which comes with a lot of cool or a lot of CPUs anyways. And if you look, the CryoRig C7CU, that's a low profile cooler, it does better. The Ravine Brontis, which is also low profile, it does better as well.
Yeah.
But you know what the funny thing is, when I was writing this review, I was gonna, you know, recommend these two, but you can't even buy these two anymore, which is weird. I know CryoRig,
didn't you do a Noctua?
Yeah, but that one I don't have anymore. I did that like four years ago. Okay. But Noctua does make one, and I can't speak on the with this test system. Yeah. I can't speak on the performance there. Also, there's the Dark Rock Slim or the I forget, the Be Quiet has one as well. Yeah. But the sad part is that the CryoRig C7CU is even lower profile, and so is the Ravine Brontis. So you have even more compatibility that way, but you can't buy them anymore, which is, I don't know why. I know CryoRig actually had problems with the whole trade war going on with getting products into the United States. So maybe that's why you can't buy it anywhere right now, at least for us.
Yeah.
But yeah, like the performance isn't horrible. You know, I tested this with the Ryzen 7 2700X, which is still a very high performance CPU. You know, Ryzen 5, Core i5, anything like that and below, I would easily run this on.
There's just better options is all.
Yeah, there's just better options out there. I would love to get, like I said, the Be Quiet one in and maybe get the Noctua one in just to, you know, do a little showdown of all these low profile coolers. But I just wasn't impressed with the cooling capability of this.
Yeah.
Again, 4 degrees, you know, better than a stock cooler that would come with most of those lower end AMD models anyways, you know?
Yeah, how much is this?
The thing is, it's $46.99, which is almost all of the other coolers are right around the same. The Ravine Brontis was $38.
Yeah.
The CryoRig one was, I believe, right around the same price. But for that amount of performance, like if it was 35, I would say okay, but 46 seems expensive based on the performance. Again, there aren't a whole lot of these low profile coolers, so they can get a little bit more money out of you, I would say. But one thing I did like is that it is super easy to install. We install this on a test bench, but if you installed this in a mini ITX system, it would be quite easy, which I really like. I think the biggest part of small form factor stuff is actually the installation, because it's just
hard
to do.
So
like I said, I gave it a 7 out of 10 because it's just the performance isn't there. Installation's good. They from the previous version, so there was a Big Shuriken 2. They updated a lot of stuff, and the updates do help it, but it's still not, you know, as good as what else is out there. And it's really makes it hard to recommend. But right now there's not a whole lot, you know, the two other coolers that we did test that are low profile, you can't even get right now. So yeah, I don't know. It's just,
I'm going to say the Noctua is probably better performance. But I believe that's in the same price range too. So
the Noctua one is very, very low profile. Like it's super, right. super small. So I can't speak on the performance, but you know,
it's actually cheaper.
Yeah.
So that's not good either.
Yeah. So maybe we can get that one in and test it in the future just to kind of, you know,
yeah.
get a better understanding of everything. But yeah, check out the review if you're interested. Again, there aren't a whole lot of low profile coolers out there. So, you know, so those were our reviews for the week, and talking about, we're going into Case Mod Friday, which of course is one of my favorite sections of the website, just because I love case mods and what people can do. And this week we have a Pokemon theme build. So if you're a fan of Pokemon, this one's from Random Design, and it's called I Choose You, and it's done inside of the Thermaltake level 20. And actually, given what the Thermaltake level 20 kind of gives you as far as like space, and because it's a very boxy style design,
it's segmented into compartments.
It's very segmented into these compartments, but I think he did a really great job. You can see the Pokemon in these like chambers, which are made to be like the chambers they would normally be in. If you watch the movie, which I did, wasn't a huge fan, but I did watch the movie. And then you have like, this is supposed to look like, I guess, the city or something. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Obviously this is Thermaltake theme build, so you have a lot of Thermaltake stuff.
Always.
Yeah. And he designed the top of the water block to look like a Pokeball, which I think is kind of cool. But I think it's just like, it's cool because I don't remember seeing a whole lot of Pokemon theme builds. And one, if you look at this, I guess maybe with the Pikachu thing here, but like, yeah. it doesn't necessarily like jump out as a Pokemon build until you actually look at it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's not over the top in your face as far as the overall theme of it goes.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's cool. It is really like clean for a theme build. Theme builds tend to get really cluttered and kind of stuff everywhere if they're not very careful. And this one, actually, I feel like the different sections kind of really flow together. So I'd say hats off to that. As far as like a Pokemon build goes, this is probably about as good as you can get. And
it's not like overdone. I think that's what I like about it. And I think you're right. Like theme builds kind of get like overdone. And this just seems like, okay, I have these three compartments, you know, I'm going to design this one like this. I'm going to design this one like this. Like, you know, I like it. And it's just like, if you're a Pokemon fan, you definitely should like this one. And it's a cool build inside that level 20, I think too. So very, very cool.
And I love the way that this is one of the better implementations of RGB that I've seen. He's got like static lights in the GPU block to, you know, like keep that light theme going the same from, you know, the other sections as well and the other parts of it, so that like rather than just like random RGB lighting everywhere, like that's, you know, lighting up that specific section.
And I think kind of like it highlights, like, you know, you have your GPU block and your RAM block, like it highlights these things without like lighting up the entire inside of the case, which I think is cool. So so definitely check this one out. And as I always say, we do have our full section of Case Mod Friday builds. And for our video this week, we do at least I try to get videos out, once a week. I did do a video, if I can bring it up here. I did a video on the Corsair IQ465X. We talked about it last week, as you can see my pretty face right there. I did do a video on this case. This is Corsair's a little bit less expensive IQ case. It comes with three of their LL120 RGB fans. We talked about it last week at length, so I'm not going to talk about it. But if you want to see the video and you want to see those RGB fans in action, definitely go ahead and check it out and everything like that. For sure. So we have that, and then on to news. And just this week we have some kind of breaking news in the lower end GPU kind of market. It looks like AMD will be announcing a Radeon RX 5500 on October 7th. We've heard rumors about a 5600, a 5500, but it looks like the 5500 is what they're going to be announcing, and this is coming in just a few days, not a few, but you know, 7 days here. And it will be the Radeon RX 5500 XT. Gigabyte is already ready with about 6 custom designed cards. The one thing that's interesting, or actually a few things that's interesting about this, because we did talk about it last week, about this could possibly be a rebrand, and that's not, that wouldn't be good. AMD, right, for the longest time was known as the rebrand king. You get a rebrand after a rebrand after a rebrand.
Yeah. Why make a new part when you can put a new name on it?
Yeah, and sell it for more.
Yeah.
So you're not going to have that here. This is actually based on the Navi family of GPUs using the new RDNA architecture, 7 millimeter GPU. And it's going to have all of the models are going to have 8 gigabytes of memory, and it's newer GDDR6. So it's not like GDDR5 or GDDR5X. It's actually GDDR6. Mm. Based on the specifications and the rumors, it's going to have 22 RDNA compute units, which works out to about 1408 stream processors. So with that, it looks to be a very viable successor to an RX 580 and RX 590, which I think they've been looking for that low-end successor for a while now. Mm-hmm. You know, $200, $250 range, made to compete with the GTX 1650 and 1660. So it should, you know, do your 1080p trip. You should do 1080p fine with AAA titles and higher frame rates with, you know, like esports titles and things like that. I think it's good because one, they need a successor to the RX 580. Like they've needed it for for a very long time. But NVIDIA is already ready. We'll talk about it in a little bit, but, there's, you know, 1660 Super, 1650 Super coming out, or supposedly coming out soon. But I think it's good for AMD. I think the fanboys, which I feel like there's a million more fanboys for AMD than there is NVIDIA for some reason. Or they're at least they're the loudest online, I would say.
I think to still be an AMD fanboy, you like endured a lot. So
yeah,
like you're pretty loyal.
Yeah. So yeah, it should be exciting. You know, AMD sort of did compete in the more mid-range, so more of like the lower mid-range, I guess you would call this, maybe.
Yeah, definitely lower mid-range.
Yeah, the lower mid-range, they haven't been able to compete really at all, so this will give them something to compete. And you should see, I'm assuming because Gigabyte has already has like, you know, 6 models ready. This is completely partner launch, so there's not going to be a reference card, which makes sense.
It's totally fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you don't. No. Yeah. Nobody wants that anyways.
Yeah. Nobody really wants a reference part at all for that.
So, not from AMD anyways.
Yeah. Talking about non-reference, one of the best selling 5700 XTs is the Red Devil. Yeah, the Red Devil card. Yeah. It's one of the highest clock cards. It's just such a great card. But it looks like Power Color will be coming out with a Liquid Devil. They teased it on social media. It's more than likely going to be the highest clock, the fastest RX 5700 XT you can get your hands on. Looking, if you zoom in on the picture which we have here, you can see, what logo is that?
That's an EK logo.
That's an EK logo. So and you can see like the, what are these called, you know what those are called, the
I guess, sorry, I gotta click back. What, oh, the ports.
Yeah, the ports,
inlet outlet ports.
Yeah, so that means that this is a completely water cooled card, meaning like you add it to your own custom loop. This is not something that will come with like a 120 millimeter radiator with it. This is something you're going to be adding into your custom loop. So that means that more than likely, you know, with the ones that have those built-in radiators and stuff, like they don't clock them as high. Where this one is expected to be like the highest clock card. It looks cool. You know, you can, it looks like part of it will have this devil thing, whatever you want to call that.
Yeah.
And the other part over here, what looks like will be clear and everything like that. No word on pricing. Expected to be one of the highest cost cards.
Stupidly expensive.
But it's probably going to be awesome. So pretty. If you're an AMD person, you've been looking for, you know, the fastest one out there. You already have a water cooling loop and you want to add this in. there, you know, you're good to go there. So yeah, pretty cool. Exciting stuff there. Also on the AMD train, which seems like this podcast is the AMD train.
It, you know what? AMD, if nothing else, is they're winning the media game. Like,
yes,
we've seen more news from AMD than probably Intel and NVIDIA combined. You know, so one company pushing all the news out there, like, they're killing it with leaks and whatever, you know, whatever they are, and news. They're just doing a good job of constantly putting information out.
Yeah, yeah. I think they've kind of, with their whole re-transformation, mm-hmm. I think that they have a lot of stuff going on in this next story that we're talking about. Is just another great thing that they're doing. The AMD announced their new game bundle, which is called Raise the Game. This bundle will include, let's bring up the spreadsheet to see everything. Yeah. So this is, you know, we've seen this for so long. You know, you buy a graphics card, you buy a CPU, you get free games or free something.
Absolutely.
You know, for some odd reason, we kind of went away from that before, and then we kind of came back to it the past few years, I think, because...
Well, the competition and the pricing ran away with GPU, so they just didn't have to offer it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. So these are... I think it's... I don't know if it's US only. I'm pretty sure it might be US and UK only. And select retailers. So go to AMD's website. We have the link in the article.
That's kind of different. Usually it's... If you have a UPC, you can get the stuff, but
yeah, that's so now they'll include a code or whatever. I don't
know. With the purchase.
Yeah. But they have a website set up to redeem all this stuff. Going over it really quickly, if you buy a Radeon RX 5700 series, a 590, 580, or 570, you'll get to choose between Borderlands 3 and Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Breakpoint. Both are brand new games that have just came out. And you'll get an in-game item for each of those. So whatever game you choose, you'll get an in-game item, which I can show you here really quickly. One is a t-shirt for Ghost Recon, and Borderlands, you get this backpack thingy that says AMD on it. So, and you also get Xbox Game Pass for PC. If you're not familiar with Xbox Game Pass, it allows you to stream and play games or download games for the time that you have it. So it's just like a monthly subscription that enables you to play games. So if you want to play, you know, brand new Gears of War that just came out, you can go ahead and play it as long as you have the pass. So it gives you 3 months of that, which is more than enough time to complete, I would say, the new Gears of War or whatever it may be, or play whatever game. And just before I go into anything else, every product here gives you the 3 month pass. So if you buy any AMD product, whether it's graphics cards or CPUs, you'll get the 3 month pass, which is pretty awesome. If you happen for some odd reason, I don't know why you would, but if you wanted to buy a Radeon 7 or a Vega series card or a 560, you will get the Game Pass as well. Onto the CPUs, Ryzen 9 3000 series. So any Ryzen 9 processor and the Ryzen 7 3800X, you'll get both the Outer Worlds and Borderlands 3 and the Game Pass. Ryzen 7 3700X down to which is kind of nice. The 2700X and 27 are included in this. You'll get the choice of one game plus the Xbox Game Pass. And then all the APUs in the Ryzen 5 3600X, you'll still get the Game Pass, which is kind of cool. So basically, if you're building a new AMD system or buying a AMD graphics card, you're at least going to get 3 months of Xbox Game Pass, which is
right. Like, do you get 6 months if you like one for each, then I suppose, right? If you bought a processor and a GPU, I'm sure.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's stackable, right? Like,
I mean, it's gotta be though.
Yeah, you would think, but you'd never know. Yeah, I don't know how
that'll just work. Buy the item separately if it's not.
Yeah, but like, you know, when you go into your Microsoft or your Xbox, or I don't know what you call it, or yeah, Xbox, sorry. Yeah, if you go into your Xbox account, I don't know if you're able to stack them, because they had that problem before with like when the like actual Xbox people like would buy a bunch of Xbox passes or gift cards on eBay, and then they would stack them, like they would be able to get them really cheap and then add like 6 years to their Xbox Live subscription.
Yeah,
so they stopped the stacking as far as like that went on console, but I don't know how different it is now, you know what I mean? But yeah, so pretty awesome for AMD. I mean, that gives you an incentive to buy one of their graphics cards or one of their CPUs, because you're getting free games, and these are all AAA titles. The Xbox Game Pass, of course, the big thing is the new Gears of War 5. So pretty awesome, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, so we did talk about it, and we'll talk about it really quickly, is that Asus says that GTX 1660 super cards are coming. These are going to be a response to AMD's RX, the 5500 XT, and hopefully we get a 5600 XT. The one thing that's kind of weird about this is, like, is this going to be the new thing going forward? Is NVIDIA going to, you know, it's like, is if AMD releases something, is NVIDIA just going to rebrand a card with faster speeds and call it super now? Like,
do they just cut the next chip down and then rebrand it the super version of the previous chip? Part.
Yeah, it's so weird because, like, I mean, I don't know how long ago the 1660s came out, but I mean, it's not super long ago. So it's like, as a person who may have bought the previous, especially in the 1660, because those came out after the RTXs, like,
yeah,
you feel cheated because
I mean, I'd feel cheated if I had bought any of the 16 series or the original 20 series, because the super parts are so much cheaper and so much better.
Yeah,
it's kind of unbelievable. But that's the risk you take whenever you're an early adopter, though. You get your time with having the better part, the early part, and then it goes away quickly.
Do you think this, like, refresh or this cycle is it's too fast?
It's certainly going to scare people away. Like, because, like, what? You got to always question if the next better thing. We already question that constantly as PC builders. Like, is the next best thing about to come out? Now you've introduced, like, essentially, you've got three different series within this generation of NVIDIA cards. So,
yeah,
you got to always be questioning now, like, is something new about to come out?
And this, like, breaks, like, you would know even when the RTX series came out, like, you knew, you know, a 2060 was this, like, it was very segmented. Like, you knew 2060 was, like, you know, sort of mid-range, 2070 was, like, higher mid-range, 2080 is high-end, and then 2080 Ti is, like, the super high-end. Like, you knew those. With all of these, like, you have all, you know, you have all, there's no, It's kind of hard, especially when you have the TIs too, because, like, there is a 1660 and there's a 1660 Ti. So if you bring out a 1660 Super, where does that fit in? And, like, the difference in price in those cards is not a lot. So, like, what?
It's got to be cheaper than both. It's got to be a 1660 Super has to be cheaper, by the history of the Super launches, has to be cheaper than a 1660. Than the original price of that, but it has to have the performance of the basically the next part up. Is the Ti even really that part, though? And then that begs the question, what's the next part after the 1660 Ti?
Yeah, that's why, like, I don't like this, like, reaction.
Yeah,
like, so this reaction to
it's
this
like a
thing.
Desperation to, like, hold these, like, sales at all levels when they should just be, and they probably are preparing for the next generation, but it feels like there's maybe one too many groups working at NVIDIA right now that are like, this is the stopgap group that's trying to prevent sales loss or something in the interim, like, after their product starts to become stale just a little bit, they're trying to refresh it. Yeah. I don't know.
And, like, I love the idea of super for the consumer, as it brings down, it gives us better performance at a better price.
I bought one.
Yeah, you got, like, one.
Why not?
Yeah. You know, so, like, I love that aspect of it, but I just don't like this constant refresh to say, oh, we have the faster card at this price point, or, you know, whatever.
Was there anything wrong with, other than, I guess, they would lose sales when it happens, but, like, you launch, your competition either has a better part or they don't, and then they launch with whatever they've got, and whoever wins, and then you move on to the next generation, and the consumer has, like, a stable release platform or release schedule, and they know what to expect. And, like, okay, so this time AMD has the faster low end part. Next time maybe NVIDIA does, and, like, that's just how it is. That so you don't sell cards in that segment.
It's just, yeah, it's very confusing to me. I'm not a huge fan of it. Like, I'm just not.
It might be like a symptom of like where I think corporate culture has come, because it's years and years of like attrition within the corporate culture, and like a corporation's entire goal is to make the most money for the shareholder. And so now the point is, it's to the point where like they're not allowed to lose any sales from any segment at any time. Is that what we're looking at? So,
well, we do know for a fact that Nvidia, the RTX didn't go over as well as it did.
No,
their shareholders weren't happy. The stock price isn't like great.
Yeah.
So like they need to make sales and they need to keep their shareholders happy.
But it's their own fault though, because they got greedy and they launched cards at ridiculous prices after keeping the prices jacked up for so long with like the longest lifespan ever in the 10 series.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit of their own medicine, and accept it, move on to the next, I guess. That's what but you know, they're not going to feel that way, I suppose. So
yeah, it's just like I said, my biggest gripe with it is just there's too many cards within a $50 price difference. You know what
right
I mean?
Yeah.
And it's not like, I mean, it's they're all from the same company. Like, you know, it's not like we have, you know, three cards from, you know, maybe two. Yeah, it's like, no, like it's not like choosing like an RX 5700 XT or a, you know, a 2060 or 2070. It's like, you know, you have five cards to choose from two different manufacturers within $50 of each other.
Yeah, well, essentially you've got the 1660, the 1660 Ti, you're going to have the 1660 Super, supposedly.
Yeah.
Technically, you've got the 2060 in there, too.
And you
like, it's a little further, but it's kind of in the range. And you got a 2060 Super.
Yeah, which is more or less, that's kind of too high. That's
jumps,
yeah.
but like,
yeah,
like the original idea was that the 1660 was the same ish as the 2060, right? It just didn't do RTX.
Yeah, well, yeah, and it's much lower
price.
Yeah. It's just like I said, within $50 to $100, there's a lot of cards, and I don't like that. I like the segmentation that we had. It made it simple. You didn't have to do these reactionary things. I didn't think like you had remember like the 10-7 or yeah, the 10-7, right? The 9-7, 970, 1070. Like everybody used that card because it was like the card. It was like the, you know, the good card. So I don't know. Not happy with it.
Yeah. It's just bad for the market.
Yeah. But we'll move from GPU stuff as we get frustrated over to CPU stuff. And the Intel Core i9 9900KS was listed at around $600 at a online shop. This is the 8-core. It's basically a 9900K with a higher base clock of 4 gigahertz, which is 400 megahertz, and an all-core turbo boost of 5 gigahertz. Now, the thing about this processor, one, you're getting, it's $100 more, which already makes it pretty expensive. $600 for mainstream. Two is that Asus, we talked about last week, said that the TDP is 127 watts. So when you're boosting all five cores, which is going to go over that, obviously, how long are all five cores going to be able to maintain boost?
Eight cores.
all 8 cores going to maintain that 5 gigahertz boost, like what, 20 seconds?
At 127 watts.
20 yeah. seconds? Maybe? You know what I mean?
The
interesting
magic
thing,
Bob, there's magic involved in.
Yeah. You know, the interesting thing, like the thing is like I would, and again, I know Intel's probably not going to be happy about this, but I think I would love to test this against the 9900K and see what happens. $100 more. I know this was at an Australian e-tailer. So the conversion is $605, but
yeah.
You know,
I think that released nothing more. Wasn't the 9900K, wasn't it 550 at launch, 540? I think it had a price drop.
I thought it was 499 at launch, but I could be wrong.
It's definitely up. I don't see, there's really nothing other than like yeah, of course it's faster. It's newer. Like, you don't get to charge $50 more because your new part is faster than the part it's replacing.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense. And like you said, it's the things that it's going to, that they're selling it based on, how much is it really going to be able to even do those things?
Oh, you're right. It was $529.99.
Okay.
But the thing is too, is like, I think the reason that they're launching this is because AMD does have their 16-core 3950X coming in November, and AMD is going to say we have the fastest gaming processor. Like, you know what I mean?
It has to be though.
And if it beats the, I think the 3950X was designed to beat the 9900K gaming, and it more than likely does. So what does Intel have to do? They have to come out with a part to say, no, we're the king of gaming still, blah, blah, blah. And this is the part. It's $100 more. And it's kind of BS, because why would you pay, like, for the actual performance, it's going to be way more expensive. I'd rather get 16 cores, right? For other things.
Most people probably don't need that though. Yeah, I agree with you. I'd rather get 16 cores.
Yeah. Or even, I mean, we have a 12 core part. We have our 12 core 39, you know, for the same price. It's just, it's this, and we've had this in the industry for so long, is this battle. We're faster. We're the best at this. We want to keep this tagline, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, no, just come out with a part that we can use, that that a lot of people want to use. It's, I don't know.
That makes sense to use. That doesn't, that you don't actually see a noticeable uptick in your electric bill when you buy it.
Yeah. Have you actually noticed that with your?
No, I don't pay attention to it. It's summer too, so air conditioning and pool pump, so it's hard to say.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, that this is a, dude, this is a lot of power that this thing is going to draw. There's no way around that. Like, who really does this make sense for, like, that really needs eight cores running at, even if it could maintain the heat, like, what game is going to take advantage of eight cores at 5 gigahertz?
Yeah.
Like, none.
And
nothing's that threaded.
It's not going to hold that 5 gigahertz for long. It's just not.
You need some pretty intense cooling for it to be able to, for sure.
Yeah, it's just not. And like, you know, the X299 boards, I mean, we're going to have to get new ones that have better VRMs.
Yeah.
You know, it's
just... Well, here's one thing that I'm going to wonder about though. That AMD part coming out in that 16 core coming out in November, that's going to be in this price range.
$749.
Okay. Yeah. So $749 plus you have to buy a $300 board for it.
Mm, true. Very true. At least
now you've actually got a cheaper solution from Intel. So
I didn't think about it that way, but that's actually really,
it might be the first time ever.
Yeah.
The cheaper solution is from Intel. And then the other thing that I got to still question, you seem to have the faith in them, but I doubt that they actually have a faster clock cycle. It's the same product that they've already released. It's just a higher core count.
Yeah.
I don't see it being faster per cycle, but
yeah.
Could be wrong.
Yeah, you could be wrong. Like I said, and it's just this thing, but I just don't, the whole idea of like five, I would love that if it was 5 gigahertz overclock that could maintain that overclock. I just, for me, like what, in what I know and what everybody else knows, like it can't hold that overclock for more than at most 30 seconds. And it just can't, you know, it's like,
I don't know, because you can do some manual overclocking and get some decent cooling on it that, I mean,
yeah, but even with the 9900K, you couldn't get it. You couldn't get all of those cores that high. I don't even remember what our overclock was on it. I can look it up.
I thought you could get it to 5.
Let's see here. I'm not sure. I don't remember what I got it to. Let me see.
It was a lot of voltage. I know that.
Yeah, and like, I mean, you needed
something big board
that could do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's single core to 5 gigahertz. So I was able to get it up to, I was able to get it to 5.1.
Yeah.
And that
single core or All core.
But it was like 100 degrees.
And probably not stable.
And not super stable. Like, I was able to complete, like, Cinebench and some other stuff.
Oh, that's fairly stable.
Yeah, that's fairly stable.
It's gaming stable. It's not it's not project stable, though.
And, again, it was, like, at 100 degrees, which I know the TJ Maxx on that is, like, 115, but, like, that's still...
I don't care what they say. Yeah. Dude, when you see three digits, no, it's not good. Anytime you see three digits,
Yeah, so I'm just...
We'll see. Yeah, it might be a monster apartment. Maybe they've got something, but...
Yeah, I know it's going to be a higher binned part. Like, you know that...
It needs more than just binning, though. It needs to be more than just a good part.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It's a lot of money, too, though, so maybe they did something with it. I mean, for one thing, you know for sure they've got to have actual solder in there and not some cheap Tim, so should be good.
So we'll see. I don't know. I just want it to come out. I want the 3950X to come out. Like, I want, you know, all this stuff to so we can say have the competition, blah blah. But competition does bring good stuff, so
I mean, it's hopefully forcing Intel to have a smaller part for us soon here.
But talking about Intel and problems they've been having, they have had their shortage of 14 nanometer.
Always.
We saw it since the last part of 2018 into 2019. They actually invested $1 billion into beefing up 14 nanometer production capacity. But they're still going to have chip shortages, mostly in the mobile stuff. Where they're most of their, like, a lot of their businesses with laptops and things like that. According to a new report, 14 nanometer production has fallen short once again and will likely cause most notebook makers to actually delay their products until 2020.
We talked last week about Microsoft moving the Surface to AMD. This is oftentimes,
I didn't even think about that.
This is something that pushes a deal like that to happen more than a performance change or something like that.
Because
so this is like, if you can't get your part, you can't sell anything. And this is the sort of thing that can kill a company.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're big enough and this is just a part of it. But like, when companies can't get their parts to the customer, like, it becomes game over pretty quickly.
Yeah. And just say Microsoft, they announced two new services, one's based on Intel, one's based on AMD. You go to buy the Intel one and it's not available. You check a week later and it's not available. So what do you, and you're like a person, maybe you're a student, you need a laptop for school. You're
you can only wait for so long.
Yeah. You can only wait. Like, I bought new shoes today and like, I was waiting and I finally bought them. Cause I just, you know, like I need new workout shoes. Like, so I need them. So, you know, like, you can only wait for a laptop for so long that the AMD one's the only one available. I mean, and you're set on a Surface, you know, you gotta
buy it. And then you get, and especially when AMD is closing the gap. So like, performance isn't, you're not really sacrificing. So Intel really suffering on all fronts, if we're being honest.
One more piece of CPU news, which is very interesting and would be a killer part for so many people. AMD might come out with a Ryzen 9 3900 that's 65 watts.
Ooh.
So the 3900X is 105 watts. 65 watts is much lower power, obviously. Don't know what the specs on it. People are thinking that it's going to be a base clock of 3.1 gigahertz and will boost up to 4.2 gigahertz. But you have to remember, this is a 12 core part.
I don't see it even boosting that high.
Yeah, but even if it doesn't, like, a 12 core part that's 65 watts, that can do a lot.
Yeah, it's not really mobile, but like, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Like, that's a little high for mobile still, you know?
But, yeah, not, this is a desktop part.
Yeah, desktop part. But, like, I'm trying to think of applications for this, I guess. Like, something you would take mobile though, or something that's running in like a command station for like an emergency response vehicle or something like that.
Yeah, like I mean, just the fact that you're getting like 12 this much cores, power,
yeah,
12 cores, 24 threads at 65 watts. That's awesome to me.
Yeah, it's got to be an application somehow of their mobile technology.
But yeah, the thing too, I mean, this is for people that maybe. Like, you know, we talk about it all the time. People just don't overclock. They, yeah. You know, they don't need that X part, right? Like they don't need the XFR, which allows it to boost even higher. That's what the X part is. That's the difference between a non-X part and an X part. The X part gives you AMD's XFR technology, which allows it to boost higher if it has proper cooling. If you're throwing the stock cooler on there, you don't care about any of that other stuff.
Yeah.
You get a slightly lower clock speeds, but it's 12 core 24 thread.
Yeah.
At 65 watts. It's really awesome. I think it'd be a great part for them.
Yeah. If you are aware of the programs that you're running and you need highly threaded stuff, if your programs will take advantage of the threads, this is what you need more than speed. Right. Yeah. So that's cool. It'll save you a lot of money on electric bill too. If you switched your whole, like if you ran a company and you could switch your whole office over to parts that were like half the power consumption, that's a big deal.
Yeah, and I think too, I mean, you throw that on an upcoming, they're not out yet, but the B550 stuff we talked about last week.
Yeah.
Lower power, don't need more than one GPU, don't need all the extra USB stuff, don't need the higher TDP X570 chipset. Like, you know, that's killer, it would bring the price of these AMD parts down significantly, but still giving you again 12 core 24 thread. I mean, it's pretty awesome. So that's pretty exciting. One really cool thing, and I posted on social media like want in all capitals for this. Asus released their ROG Crosshair, was that 5, 6? I can't count in Roman numerals. 8 Impact. So this is their Crosshair Impact, or their Impact boards have always been their small form factor ITX gaming board, and they're awesome. Asus has done some really innovative stuff with their small form factor stuff. And what's interesting about this one is that it's not technically ITX. It extends past ITX, but the holes in it are for ITX. So if you look at it, you have this extra space.
You almost have an inch. Yeah.
Yeah. So the whole theory behind this is that this is a ROG board. It's for gamers. Most gaming ITX cases have this space because they are made to accommodate a 2-slot graphics card. So you have the space anyways. So their whole theory is if you buy an ITX gaming case, it's going to have this space because...
Yeah. No, that makes total sense because no matter what, the card is going to be over that space down there.
Yeah. And they all have 2 slots. Like every ITX case I've reviewed has always had 2 slots because there's not many one-slot cards out there.
Yeah. Liquid cooled. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. they figured we're going to bring it down and, you know, bring in even more space. So they've done a lot of really cool stuff with this. One, for an ITX board, it has an 8-phase VRM, which is like very high for ITX. And one thing that's really cool is with X570, so the chipset is in here as well as all the VRM stuff is all in here. And they have 2 fans that actually cool it, plus the heat sink.
Really?
You can see the heat sink. It's all in here.
Is it stacked or is it?
I don't know.
It's got to be wired right into the PCB. It has to be.
Yeah.
The chipset. So
all of that is in here. You have 2 cooling fans. And you can see the little ventilation for them. That's super cool, in my opinion. Second thing, you see this card. You're wondering
the riser. Yeah. What do we got there?
What is this? So we saw this. What do they call this? They're so dim M2. Or the so dim slot. We've seen this. This is a so dim slot. If you're not familiar with a so dim slot, that is a memory slot that you would see in smaller, like a Intel NUC or even laptops. Yeah. So this would normally take laptop memory.
Yeah.
But they have this proprietary, which it should be, daughter board right here, which is wired as PCI Express 4.0, and it holds two M.2 slots. So most ITX systems, you get one, and it's on the back side of the motherboard.
Yeah.
This, you get two, and it's pretty cool looking, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's right there.
And I don't know if this is RGB or that's just the way it is, but it's
probably
RGB.
RGB.
So that's pretty cool as well.
And electrically, I mean, it has to, but it's running through memory slot. It's running the PCI through memory slots.
Yeah, but the slot itself is not the slot is rewired. It just uses that same
connector. Right, but it has the same number of pins per se as a SODIMM slot, right?
Correct. At least I think.
Which is I'd want to see. I don't know one versus the other. Maybe they're the same. I mean, memory has a lot of bandwidth, so. But
yeah.
I thought that PCI Express had more bandwidth, but I might be wrong.
Yeah, I'm not sure on that, but I think that's really cool. And then secondly, which initially when I saw this, I thought that this was an M.2. Oh, they made room for an M.2 on the front. Mm. This is actually the audio.
Yeah.
So this is actually, if you look at it, it's it's an M.2, which has all the audio components on it.
Oh, really?
So this is all off board. This is off the main PCB. So you have full isolation of all of your audio components on this. Because again, this is a gaming board, so you want really good gaming grade audio. This is their Supreme FX Impact. It uses the Realtek ALC1220 codec plus the ESS Saber DAC. Has a Depop circuit. Audio grade capacitors, again, physically isolated, and it has EMI shielding. So like a really awesome audio solution that you would never get on an ITX board. You have all of that on there.
That's
plus,
really cool.
If you can see the rear IO here, postcode display on the rear IO, which is kind of cool because you have no place for it on the actual board. And you're in an ITX system, it's kind of hard to see anyway. So that's kind of cool. Reset switch back there. Clear CMOS and BIOS flashback right there. There is power on the board as well. It has everything. It's like the ultimate mini, I guess it's not ITX. Technically, it's mini DTX, but and the entire thing has a metal.
It's like extended ITX.
yeah. But this is awesome. I hope that more manufacturers do this in the future. This is going to be expensive board, $450.
It was already going to be expensive though because it's AMD. Because it's X570.
It's X570.
$450 is pretty high though, but
it's
pretty cool. It's a pretty cool board.
It has everything. I forget.
It's outside the box, man. That's cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. It has I forget how many USBs. It has Wi-Fi 6 too. Wi-Fi 6, Bluetooth 5.0, Gigabit Ethernet, 10 gigabit USB 3.1 ports. 4 or 5 normal USB 3.1 ports as well. There's a lot on this. It's just an awesome board. But like, and of course you get RGB down the side.
Yeah. Does it have, so it just has the two M.2 ports in the daughter board. It doesn't have one on the back.
Not that I know of. I don't believe it does.
There's probably no space left to run wire for it.
And if you look, I mean, I guess this, if you look at it, it would just be a pain in the ass to take all that off just for that, but so pretty awesome. Like I said, probably the coolest small form factor motherboard
ever?
That I've seen in
ever.
I don't know, because you know ASRock did have that, like the LGA 2011.
That was pretty cool.
That was pretty cool. It was like made no sense because it was just, but this makes a lot more sense because you could technically run everything. I assume the cooling is good and all this and all that kind of stuff. Really, really cool. Really just an awesome board. Definitely if you want to build an ultimate X570 mini ITX, this is probably the board to do it. Really, really cool stuff there. On the funnier side of things, one thing that I really want to talk about because it's just a product announcement, but I think it's just funny. And it's just funny. Razer launches their Siren emote microphone. So this is a version of their I think that's how you say it.
Siren.
But anyways, it has a little emote display, which is LEDs, or, you know, and you can make it do, and I guess the software works with like Twitch, and it will react to what people are saying in the chat, which I think is great for streamers.
Is it reacting to what the chat does? I don't know
how the software works, but I think it's kind of funny. They have a video on the product page, which we have linked, that kind of shows it. But if you're a big streamer, like, you know, I have my microphone here, you know, well, this one would, you know, even if I move it up, you really can't see it. But I mean, a lot of streamers do have their microphones in, you know, in here, and you can, you know, if somebody put a smiley face would pop up there. It's kind of cool for interaction with fans and stuff like that. Besides that, you're not going to, if you're talking into that microphone, you're not going to see it because it's facing the other way.
No, other than if you're, if you got a window up with yourself on it.
Yeah, or something like that. That's about it. That's just, I just thought it was fun.
It's expensive.
Yeah, it's expensive. I don't know how much the regular one is. It might be the same price there. It might be, I assume it's a little bit more, but $179 is a little expensive.
Yeah. You gotta assume the quality is only like so-so, and that it's all about the gimmick.
Yeah. I wouldn't say it's all about the gimmick, because the Siren has gotten really good reviews.
Okay.
But yeah, it's kind of gimmicky, but if you're like a professional, like, I guess a professional streamer, I mean, it might be something that you would want to check out, I guess. To just add something more to your stream. I mean, that's the biggest thing. Like, we buy these mics, we buy the cameras, and you want to make the stream better. So
For sure. One more thing to add, one more thing. I mean, you've got all your boards and stuff too that we don't use, but other, you know, streamers use. So
yeah, stream decks and all that kind of stuff.
Razer's kind of been there forever with it, with different tech to make streaming more interesting.
Yeah, they were one of the first to really take it seriously. Yeah. Then you had Elgato, but they got really big into stuff when they were bought a year and a half ago by Corsair. So you know, then you have everybody doing it because like it's a job for a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, you want to do more than just like what we're doing here is really simple. Like, we have a camera and we have a microphone. We don't have much else. So we have this StreamYard, which helps us do this, but there's been, you know, other, you know, there's just so much more that we could do. Like, I could have a green screen, I could be in Hawaii, I could do all kinds of stuff.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, the One Razer camera, you didn't even need the green screen. It would just take you out. So
yeah, and one thing we didn't talk about, which I could have wrote an article on it, but I didn't. It was TwitchCon, and the big thing that NVIDIA announced at TwitchCon is that RTX GPUs will do that now.
They will.
So yeah,
I saw you share that, but I didn't actually read it.
Yeah, so what they'll do is, I don't know how they do it. I don't know if it just works with your webcam, but it will detect where you are and block out the back without having to do anything. It works only on RTX GPUs, so it's another reason to buy an NVIDIA card. That's pretty cool. But the last thing we're talking about is also about streaming. It's a pretty big deal. So Streamlabs, which we actually use, Streamlabs OBS for our Twitch streams when we stream gaming, they were bought by Logitech for $89 million. And the only reason I wanted to cover this is because we see this sometimes and we see it go bad. We see it where, like, they put ads in the stream.
They kill the product.
I don't know what's going to happen. It's a great win for Streamlabs. Obviously, they're getting $89 million plus. There's a bonus in there. $29 million in Logitech stock, which is subject to achievement of significant revenue growth target for Streamlabs. So they have to
So that to me says that they're going to leave the guys in Streamlabs alone.
Yeah, that's a
good thing. And they're going to say, you go, you make this, you continue to grow it how it is, and you can have like almost half of what we're already giving you, you know, more than a third of what we're already giving you in cash. So like, that's a huge incentive for them. How long, what was the time period on that? Did you say?
I don't know. I don't know what the time period is to meet those. It's obviously, that's probably not disclosed. But yeah, so them. I think the thing now is like, before maybe like 4 or 5 years ago, we saw when a company bought out another company, they took it over. They either fired the people or they turned it into their own brand. Whereas now, just like when Corsair bought Elgato, they left the Elgato guys to just do their own thing.
Yeah.
Hopefully that's the case with this, where they let the Streamlabs guys, they already have a great product, keep on developing it. We just own it now. You know what I mean?
Right. Yep.
So yeah,
best
so
way to do it usually, unless Streamlabs needs something from the, or unless the purchased company, the daughter company, needs something from the parent. But usually it's best if like they're making money, don't screw that up by like sticking your middle management into it or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, guys, that is the news for the week. We'll talk about what we have coming up next week as far as reviews. I didn't get it done. I was testing it today. And I was actually talking to you about it, Derek. It was about testing this APU, the AMD Ryzen 5 3400G. I should have that review in the next couple of days. I'm actually pretty impressed. I was playing some Apex Legends using the APU. It's a $150 part that gives you CPU and GPU all together. And I mean, it's not at, you know, playing at 1280 by 720 and 1600 by 900, but still getting like, you know, depending on the resolution. I mean, in 1280 by 720, which is, most of us think that's horrible, but like getting 70 to 90 FPS and in Apex Legends and in Fortnite and other games like that, like that's not bad for $150 bucks. And you, I mean, that $150 gives you your CPU and the GPU. It doesn't.
Yeah. I mean, that gets you into a PC for $300 to $400.
Yeah, and the thing is too, it's like B450 boards very cheap now, $100. That's a good one. You can get them cheaper than that, like $79, $89.
Yeah,
you know, you just put some DDR4. What do you need? Power supply and
old school spinning disk. I mean, that's what you do though, because you can get a 500 gig hard drive for like $20 probably.
Yeah, I mean, this I was actually impressed. I didn't think, when we reviewed stuff like this in the past, it really wouldn't run any games. You'd have to really run benchmarks on it, like, you know, 3D Mark and stuff, just
like that are actually designed for it specifically.
Yeah, like it just wasn't the on die graphics were never great. This is decent enough where I can say, if you're playing Fortnite, if you're playing Counter-Strike Source, if you're playing Rocket League, if you know you're playing any of these games, you turn the settings down a little bit. Like I said, Apex Legends, which is a newer game, I was still able to do. I got a win today playing on the APU. I mean, that's pretty awesome.
That doesn't even happen for us on full systems.
I know. I play better, but you know, it's not like it's going to replace a GTX 1660. Or like a 10, you know, like any, it's not going to replace discrete, but even the cheapest discrete cards are around 150 to 200. And you got to buy a CPU on top of that. This gives you both for 150. We'll talk about it more next week. I don't want to get into it completely, but just stay tuned for that. And then Ryan will be taking a look at another microphone. He's been doing a lot of microphone reviews. It's kind of like from our microphone review guy. And there's actually a lot of
he's a professional streamer. So
yeah, he's a pro streamer. Yeah. There's a lot of really good microphones out there, surprisingly, because a lot of these traditional microphone companies, that's what they make. They make mics for musicians,
recording studios,
like really professional things,
podcasts.
They realize that there is a market now, like you said, for podcasts, for professional streamers, where they can put out a product that's not like their $1,000 really great mic, but they still have these companies have been doing this longer than Razer's been a company. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
these companies. So Samsung. I always get it. Yeah, Samsung. Samsung has their G-Track Pro. It's a professional USB microphone. It comes like with the audio interface and everything like that. Has all the buttons on the front for it, so it looks really good. Ryan will have that for you this upcoming week as well, so we have that going on. That brings us to the end of the podcast. So we talk about anything that you done tech wise anything that you saw.
Oh yeah, I did actually. For a second, I thought I didn't. I saw Ad Astra.
I did see preview for that. Was that good? That has Matt Damon, right?
No.
Wait, who does that happen in?
It has Brad Pitt.
That's
Sir Bradley Pitt. Okay, he's not a knight, but I mean, the movie is getting reviewed solely on his presence. I think it was awful. It was one of the worst movies I've seen in a really long time. It was so boring. It's a sci-fi flick and it does nothing ever. It's trying to be 2019's Interstellar, I think. And it's just
probably not awful. Put this up here now that I'm thinking about it, and like copyright. So it only ran for 16 seconds. I might have to take our, anyways, let you think about that. But yeah, I did see previews for it. So it was terrible. Not good.
Terrible. It got an 84, I think, on Rotten Tomatoes. So I was like, oh, this is going to be great. It's super sci-fi and it's got good review. Dude, I was basically falling asleep. It was so bad.
Yeah. I saw Hobbs and Shaw.
Oh, how was it? Not good.
It started out good. Like as an action film, it started out good. Like there was some cool, like the action scenes were really well done. There's some, like this guy has this, he like suit that makes him powerful. Like it was good. It started out good. And then as it got towards the end, it was so bad. They just did things because like, it just wasn't, if they would have kept it towards the action, towards the actual, like it just, yeah.
I mean, the last Fast and Furious was pretty awful too. So
yeah,
the ice stuff and what? Like, you guys know that this used to be a movie series about car racing, right?
That's the thing too. And there's like hardly any
street racing. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I mean, this is called Fast and Furious presents
Hobbs and Shaw.
It would have been good if they would have just like kept, it's just too much all over the place.
Well, okay, so one thing, like, The Rock to me is, like, not a great car actor necessarily. He has his moments of brilliance, but, like, is he a good actor? Questionable. Jason Statham, though, is, like, been in some amazing car movies.
Yeah.
And, like,
so he actually, so in the movie, he was, like, he has all these cars, like, at his house, and he has a Mini, and he's like, oh, yeah, those things are, he's like, I did a job in Italy.
You know, oh, no kidding.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, just not great. So yeah, that's not even, like, that's not a tech movie or even a sci-fi, which is more along the lines of, but I want to tell you guys, don't go see it.
Well, yeah, we just talk about this sort of thing at the end.
Yeah.
So yeah, sorry, two bad movies, unfortunately. I'm sure something good will come out here shortly. Oh, The Joker comes out this week, I think, but I'm not going to see it.
Yeah,
that's one where I'm like, I gotta wait.
Yeah, just, I don't know. But the last thing this week, launched today, is Apex Legends season 3.
I didn't realize it was out today.
Oh yeah, today I played a few rounds.
New map,
new hero, a lot of other cool things. I won't get into all of them because there's a lot. They changed some of the weapons around. They changed some of the things you can do with. There is a new weapon. And they changed some of the things. So like with some of the weapons now, you get a double tap. It's like it's a hop up now. So when you shoot once, it actually shoots twice right away.
Oh.
But the new map is, I can't tell if I really, really like it or I don't. It's a lot of urban environments. Like there's actually like skyscrapers in it that like you can go on all the floors. So it's a lot of different.
Does it feel like Skulltown, but like built on top of itself?
It's big. It feels more like a Modern Warfare game.
Oh no.
And I don't know. I only played like two matches because we had to do the podcast, obviously. But yeah, so I'll be playing it a lot this week. The new legend, his name's Crypto. He's a hacker. He gets a drone, which is really cool. So you can fly that. Fly the drone and you can see enemies and you can point them out. It will automatically point them out. And it will make, I'm sure it's going to get nerfed like soon.
Yeah.
It will automatically point them out and it allows you to see them through the wall. Like basically.
Even when you're not flying the drone.
I'm not sure.
Only while you're flying the drone.
At least while you're flying the drone. I was watching people stream it earlier and they had one person sit back.
Yeah,
and fly the drone, and they were pointing out where everybody was, which is great. Like that's another tactic of the game, which makes it good. You know, makes any game good because only one character can do that. Blah blah blah. But it's just gonna make things different. I have to play it more. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. What's like his vulnerability then? Because for any power like that, there's got to be like a caveat to using it. You know,
I mean, when you're in the drone, you're prone, like you're standing
sitting out there, so
So if somebody comes up to you and you're in the drone, I assume you can hear them, but
yeah Nothing like points back to you. It's not tethered or anything, right? Like,
no, it does have a distance. It does have a certain distance it can go, but the distance is pretty significant for the most part. But yeah, it's fun. Me and you, we need to get on there and play some games and everything like that. But that's pretty much it for anything tech related I did this week. So
cool.
So yeah, so we will go ahead and end things here, guys. As always, we have our show notes page, which you guys could have followed along because we actually made it live already. But we have our full show notes page that has everything that we talked about. If you're looking for us on the audio versions, of course, it's just Think Computers, all one word, in your favorite podcasting app or software. So until next week, we'll catch you guys later.